Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Raymond Realty Limited Q3 FY26 and 9 months FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Biplab Deep Barma from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. So on behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, I would like to welcome all the participants in the Q3 FY26 conference call of Raymond Realty Limited. Today we have with us from senior management of Raymond Realty, Mr. Rakesh Tiwari, Group CFO, Mr. Harmohan Sahni, MD and CEO, Mr. Ankur Jindal, CFO, and Mr. Sani Desa, Head Investor Relations. Without taking further time, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Harmohan Sahni. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Biplab. Good evening, everyone. I'll make some opening remarks and then we will open the floor for questions. So first of all, thank you for joining us today for Q3 and 9 month financial year 26 results conference call. I hope that you all had an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation. It has been uploaded on stock exchanges as well as on the company website. So you will get an opportunity to have a look at it later also. Moving ahead, I would like to spend some time on broader macroeconomic landscape which influenced our performance and some of the decisions that we took during the quarter. So a quick overview of the broader macroeconomic environment that shaped both our performance and the industry landscape. The sector continued its upward trajectory during the quarter in consideration, which is Q3, marking almost 3 years of sustained growth. The markets remained robust and they were supported by two key tailwinds. The first is, of course, the monetary environment, which remains quite accommodative. Reserve Bank of India reduced the repo rate further by 25 basis points to 5.25%. And this provides a very stable macroeconomic background in which we operate. So this move itself has further improved home loan affordability. How it helps us is not just in terms of affordability, but also in terms of buyer sentiment, which is a better indicator, I would say, because people would make big ticket purchases only when they feel good about the future and very, very hopeful. So positive buyer sentiment is one key underlying theme which has remained strong, and it continues to stimulate the demand across residential segments. And the second part of this was the domestic consumption, which also held firm despite the global uncertainties which continue to weigh on exports and some of the other sectors like FMCG, which are bearing the brunt of that. But large ticket purchases in particular, housing and automobiles, they have remained resilient. And it just shows that the India's strong economic fundamentals and the domestic consumption story is holding as far as large ticket purchases are concerned. The disposable incomes are clearly rising and a large share of the wallet of this is going towards cars and homes. So this consumption strength has provided a solid foundation for our real estate demand, and we all as Raymond Realty have also been beneficiary of that. We also witnessed a fundamental shift in consumer behavior. Home buyers are now placing premium on quality, transparency and reliability. And there is clearly a decisive flight to quality. And that's why you see established and branded developers cornering a very large share of the market. So this evolution is redefining industry competition and highlighting the critical value of proven execution and brand reputation. And that's where we also continue to focus on building everything before time with very high quality and continuing to deliver on the brand promise that we put into the market. Now, if we zoom into Bombay or Mumbai as it is known, the city's property market continued to demonstrate strength through Q3 on the whole. While October saw a temporary dip in registrations, there was a significant fall, almost 14% year-on-year. But that was also because of the high base effect from the previous year's festive season, which was there, which was early last year. Diwali and some of the other events happened earlier. But if you see rest of the quarter, November, December, the total property registrations in Bombay for the entire quarter exceeded 36,000 units. And it set a new record of 1.5 lakh registrations for the full calendar year 2025. That has been the highest in the 14 years that we have seen. So clearly the surge in demand which came in 2 months is not just for those 2 months, it's for the entire year. If you see, there is a secular trend which indicates there is an upsurge, continuing upsurge rather. So this performance clearly reflects a continued end user demand, particularly in premium home segments. And it signals an enduring buyer confidence in Bombay's dynamic real estate market, and particularly backed by good, strong corporate players. So this sustained momentum basically underscores deep-rooted buyer confidence that we have been seeing for the last 3 years. And there is clearly a healthy appetite for home ownership in Mumbai. So as we move into FY27, Mumbai's property market seems well positioned to benefit from all these favorable tailwinds which are there. The monetary policy is clearly going to remain accommodative. If you look at the inflation figures, that's what it indicates. The domestic consumption is resilient, so FY27 should be equally good or better than FY26 in that sense. Now, zooming into our financial performance for the quarter and 9 months, what has it been like? So we are pleased to report that Q3 FY26 and 9 months FY26 performance has exceeded our internal benchmarks and the budget that we had, which signals a very powerful evolution in our business model. The key factor in this is, you know, how much share of our business comes from our legacy land Thane and how much of it comes from the new deals that we have signed, which is the JDA projects that we have done, our asset light model. So in this quarter, this was a defining moment for us with the launch of our second JDA project, Invictus by GS in BKC. So with that, we in Bandra East, we have two JDA projects which are running. The second project also received an overwhelming market reception, just like the first one. And it confirms our brand acceptance and secures a substantial revenue potential of over 2,000 crores just from this single project. So we are quite aggressively transitioning towards a high efficiency asset light JDA model. By FY28, I think we will definitely be 50% of our annual pre-sales will be coming from the JDA, which will be a shift from, if you look at FY25 numbers, over 22% of our pre-sale number came from JDA, and from there within 2.5-3 years we'll be jumping to 50%. So that will be a significant landmark for us. So this strategy will optimize capital allocation while drastically scaling our market footprint. So with very little capital deployment, we would be cornering a large share of the market. So our financial trajectory is characterized by surging growth and disciplined execution. So our booking value, if you look at in Q3, surged to 743 crores, which is a 47% year-on-year increase from the corresponding period last year, which was 505 crores. And that displays the kind of trust the brand has created in a short period of time in the minds of consumer. Our total income reached 766 crores for the quarter, which is again a 56% year-on-year growth. If you look at nine-month momentum continued with year-to-date booking value of 1,504 crores and the total income which we have reported is 1,864 crores. So our cash flow and margins have maintained a healthy operational discipline with 1,210 crores of customer collections done in 9 months and our EBITDA margins remaining a steady 13%. We maintain a lean financial profile with a modest net debt of only 230 crores as of December 31, 2025. So all this displays a lot of financial discipline that we follow and the rigor that we have in all our decisions that we make. To top it all, execution remains the hallmark of our company. We continue to outpace construction timelines across both Thane and Bandra, ensuring high quality, timely delivery that protects all our investors and customers' returns. Our current portfolio of all the projects put together represents a 40,000 crore revenue potential. It is broadly split between 100 acres of Thane land parcel, which has a 25,000 crore revenue potential on current prices, out of which 55 acres is currently under development with a 13,200 crore of development value. Now, out of this 13,200 crore development value, we have already sold 8,500 crores and collected 6,700 crores worth of stock. So that, again, is a testimony of our fast-paced execution that we have displayed. And apart from that, the other engine that we have is the JDAs that we have signed, the 6 JDAs that we have done, which has a revenue potential of approximately 14,000 crores. Out of this, these 6 JDAs, 2 have already been launched up to 9 months of the current year. And the other 2 are expected to be launched in Q4 FY26. That will leave us 2 more JDAs, which will be launched subsequently in the following 12 to 15 months. So there is a robust pipeline of new projects coming through, both in Thane as well as non-Thane, through the JDA model, and which will continue to give us the growth that we have promised to the markets, which brings me to the growth outlook. So we are entering Q4 with immense momentum, a solid execution that we have done for the first 3 months in terms of construction as well as getting approvals and getting projects ready, which gives us a lot of heart, and our build fast, sell fast strategy is firing on all cylinders. So our Q4 launch pipeline looks very, very exciting and healthy. So you will definitely see 4 major launches from us. 2 of these launches will be the JDA projects, which will be outside the Thane market. We are talking about Wadala and Sion. These 2 locations will be launched. And we will additionally launch 2 more projects in Thane. And one of these projects is addressing the heart of the market, which is a 2-bedroom community that we are creating. And another project that we are launching will be a high-margin project that we will launch, which is the retail project. Now, this will not only give us the required growth that we have targeted for the year, it will also help us achieve the revenue numbers and also the margin profile that we have promised to the market. Currently, our EBITDA margins are 13%. They will definitely be higher with the launch of this project, which has a margin profile very different from the existing projects. and that is what will help us achieve the required EBITDA margins. So we are firmly committed to a 20% year-on-year growth in booking value. It will be driven by our scalable asset-light model, certainly. So that strategy continues. So now with a robust pipeline and continued dynamism that we have seen in the MMR market, particularly Mumbai, we are on a definite track to meet our entire full-year guidance. So with that, I thank you for joining us, and we would be happy to take your question. I think we can open the line for questions now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sukrit D. Patil from Eyesight Fintrade Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening to the team. I have two questions. Both forward-looking ones. My first question is to Mr. Sahini. With demand for residential estates remaining healthy but increasingly selective across micro markets, how is Raymond Realty sharpening its project selection, launch tactics and execution focus to build a more scalable and differentiated residential portfolio? In this context, how do you balance brand-led premium with volume growth while managing regulatory timelines and ensuring consistent customer satisfaction across all the projects? That's my first question. I'll ask my second question after this. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Actually, your question is very, very wide. I can talk on this subject for a couple of hours also, but I'll try and shorten it and create a telescopic message. Essentially, when we started this business, what we set out to solve in the market were just three things, And the first thing we wanted to solve in the market was that there should be quality product that we have to deliver in the market. And the second thing we wanted to solve was timely delivery or before time delivery. And the third thing we wanted to solve was customer focus. So in terms of giving the service to the customer, which in this industry, actually customers are not used to very high standard of service. Unlike, even if you look at car industry, while it is large ticket, the service levels are very, very different. Now this sounds very hygiene and very simple, but it's easier said than done. It's very difficult to execute for the very reasons that you detailed out, that there is, the regulatory issues are there, the market is not completely consolidated while it's marching towards consolidation. Now, what it does for us is, one is it brings acute focus on all the decisions that we make, that they are going to be customer focused and they are not going to be developer focused. Like some of the questions you asked is, while keeping margins and this, that and the other into. So if I have to have a trade-off between what the customer wants versus whether it will impact my margin or not, I will always choose the customer side. And that's how we are building this business. And once we have reached a certain point, it will automatically give us a huge premium because we will stand out from the rest of the market. There are very few players who are currently thinking in this direction, that you have to give quality, you have to give it on time, and you have to keep the consumer experience very, very high. Like I said, most of the developers are developer focused and they are not customer focused. So that is something we set out to change in the market, and that will ensure that no matter where the market is, our market share will keep on growing. So we don't have to grow, one strategy is that, when the water rises, all boats will rise. so you rise with the market. The other is that even if there is less water, I will create a craft or a ship which can navigate shallow water also. So our market share will grow even when the market is not doing so great because of the things that we have set out to achieve. I'm very happy to share that so far our journey has been pretty exciting on all fronts. So as far as the quality product is concerned, I think all our customers are testimony for whatever we have delivered in the market, and we have delivered significant number of apartments so far in Thane. And as far as timelines are concerned, we've got, you know, third party testimonial to proof that, you know, we have delivered our projects way ahead of timelines that we committed. And as far as the service quality is concerned, there also we've done significant amount of work. In fact, we have a separate department on, there is a chief customer relationship officer who's there, who reports directly to me. And we've created an entire ecosystem, and he touches every function in the organization. So it's not about one guy handling, you know, customer relations. It's about every department firing to make sure all touch points are covered. So I hope I have broadly answered your question. If you have anything specific, we can separately also meet and spend more time on this, because this is the core of our strategy actually.
Definitely, I would love to meet you. My second question is to Mr. Rakesh Tiwari. I believe he's also on the call today.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, thank you. So again, it's a forward-looking one. You know, as the company continues to scale its real estate portfolio amidst, you know, fluctuations in input cost, funding conditions, and cash flow cycles, which are unfortunately inherent to the particular space, how are you approaching capital allocation and project-level financial discipline? Additionally, how do you evaluate the trade-off between faster project monetization, balance sheet strength, and reinvestment into new developments to sustain long-term value creation? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question. So, see, few things I want to explain you well in advance, that the question was loaded one in the beginning itself, that there are a lot of fluctuation in the cash flow, which is not the reality. Now coming back to in terms of your capital allocation, see, first of all, in terms of allocating the capital, risk management is the most important critical role or the critical point which we take into account while allocating the capital. Apart from that, we assess the regulatory readiness, title clearing, zoning approval, timelines, execution complexities before committing any capital to the project. Just to give you a glimpse, we have got a tight internal control management in terms of the way we approve the project, and there are several layers of approval which happens before any project can see a day of the light so far execution is concerned. Now, second point is that the capital deployment is also milestone linked. We do not commit the full capital upfront. I mean, the release are tied to the approvals, leasing viability, or the construction progress, so to ensure that the capital efficiency and there is a full scale downward protection which is there in terms of whatever project is undertaken. I think your second question was in terms of the funding part. See, our endeavor is that the real estate products should be self-funded over the cycle. Our most important preference always is to have an asset level structure, partnership or monetization route that minimizes the balance sheet strain, and it protects the group ROCE. That is the full idea in terms of our funding strategy. So this is in terms of summary. I mean, I'll request Harmon if you want to add anything on this.
Yeah, so there are two parts to it. I think the first question is on capital allocation. See, at the group level, capital allocation has already been solved through demergers. So each business has its own balance sheet, and they will raise their own capital. So there is no further support which is, as of now, being provided by the corporate to any of the group companies. They are supposed to be self-sufficient. And that's why this demerger was done. That was the whole philosophy behind it, that, you know, businesses are now large enough and they can stand on their own. And that, if you look at that strategy, so capital allocation to a large extent at group level is already sorted. Now, the second layer of that is, within the business, how do you allocate capital? Now, naturally, when you are, you know, selecting projects and you are taking the decision, capital decision, so automatically that capital allocation happens. The moment you approve a project and you move forward, you've allocated capital for that project. And for that, there are several criteria that we look at. Of course, the entire time cycle that it takes for the money to come back. Number one is, of course, our asset light, capital light JDA model. So I don't have to pay for the land. I don't have to pay for, you know, very heavy costs upfront for other attendant costs and transaction costs which go with, you know, buying land. And then, obviously, everything is based on how much return on capital that you will make, what is the IRR that the project will give you. And see, the projects that you've already taken on, obviously you cannot offload and, you know, opt out. So in a way it is automatic. But of course, if there are 3-4 competing projects that I have to allocate capital on, then the criteria is very clear. How much multiple of my peak investment that is going to give me, what's the return on capital employed, what's the IRR that we'll be making. Based on that, we stress test all the assumptions, create scenarios, and on a risk-adjusted basis, we take that call. I hope I've been able to answer your question.
That's a very detailed guidance, and best of luck for the next quarter.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rishabh Kothari from Ashish Shah Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Myself, Rishabh this side. Congratulations. First of all, congratulations for posting good set of numbers. My question is regarding valuation. Sir, I can understand market is evaluating company's operational front of execution of projects and guidance achievement for re-rating our share. But have we considered an option to increase promoter stake by, let's say, 10% to sub 60%, so that in future when we need funds, we can dilute it and raise the funds at true valuation at that time? So first, question one, are we considering increasing our promoter stake? And question number two, one of our regulations for mutual funds or DIIs is to invest in a stock that should be in the Nifty index. So let's say that mutual fund and DIIs can invest in Raymond Realty if our stock is in Nifty Realty index. And now, as mandated by NSC to consider and examine stock for 6 months, are we reaching out to NSC to include our company in Nifty Realty index? So only two questions. Promoter increasing stake, number one, and two, inclusion in Nifty Realty index. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, so this is Jatin Khanna here.
Yeah.
So on the first question, see, firstly, you know, the business currently is adequately funded. So there's no question of promoter funding or not funding. Of course, they believe in the growth of each of the businesses. There have been instances in the past wherein they have made investments from time to time. In fact, they have not taken any liquidity from any past divestments which have happened. Almost 1,400 crore has been invested by the promoters in the Raymond businesses over a period of time. So clearly, if there's a capital requirement in the business, promoters can always decide at that point in time. At this stage, there is no capital requirement, so therefore we are not even tapping the promoters or, for that matter, any other investor to raise capital. So that's one. The projects are adequately funded, and we spoke a lot about the capital allocation as well, in the previous question. So I think that's sort of, to me, point number one.
And question two was inclusion in Nifty Realty Index, sir.
Sorry, on the Nifty inclusion, basically, yeah. So the way it works is that there's a, there are technology-based parameters that stock exchanges have. There is no manual intervention which is possible to from any company to make a request or have any discussion with stock exchanges on this. So they have their own preset algorithms, and based on those algorithms, if your stock gets picked up in the Nifty, that's great. If it gets picked up in F&O, that's great. But that all of that happens based on the algos they have preset. You know, so it's not like you can influence or make a request there.
Okay, sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the answer, and best of luck for the next quarter to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much for this opportunity. So just a couple of questions I have. Now, I think this year we are targeting a booking value of around 2800 crores, and this 9 months I think we have done around 1500 crores. So this 1300 crores fourth quarter booking, so which project will drive this? I mean, which project you expect to contribute this 1300 crores cumulative value?
Yeah, so currently if you see, we have about 9 projects which are on stream, roughly about 7 which are running in Thane and 2 outside of Thane, which are Bandra East. Apart from that, in Q4, we are launching 4 more projects which will add to this portfolio. So there will be 13 total projects which will be delivering this 2800 crores number that you talked about, which is actually a derivative of the 20% growth that we have promised. So the new launches which are there, they are the ones which will drive, because on a launch you always get a big bump up, like we have seen in all our projects and across the industry also. You see, if you have been tracking the sector, you know that launches when the maximum inventory gets sold. So since 4 launches are coming up, plus the existing projects will also contribute to it.
So existing is 9 projects and 4 more projects will be launching in 4th, total 13 projects, right?
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
And so this Wadala and Sand, have we already launched or we are in process? And I mean, which month we are planning to launch?
So Wadala is already launched, but it is Q4 already, because it was not launched in December. That's why we have not covered it in our Q3
okay.
address. But it is already launched.
What all? And Sion, when we are expecting to launch?
So Sion should happen in middle of Feb. Middle or end of third week of Feb, around that time.
Okay, understood. And you also mentioned we are on track to meet full year guidance. So what is the guidance we have given for this year in terms of growth or margins?
The growth guidance we have given is about 20% growth on pre-sales and top line.
Okay, and what about margins?
So margins for 9 months are about 13%. We will deliver significantly better in that. Our endeavor is to eventually reach a 20% margin profile. Whether it happens in Q4 or it happens in Q1 next year, that is to be seen. But we will steadily march towards that.
Okay, so 20% margin at least FY27 is what we might target, right? EBITDA
yeah.
margin? Okay. And for this entire year, I think this 9 months, I think our margins excluding other income would be in the range of some 11-12%, I guess. So for the entire year, for this FY26, we are targeting about 15-16% kind of EBITDA margin in that range?
Yeah, it will be close to what you said.
Okay. And that excludes other income, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's very helpful, sir. I mean, wish you all the way best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kailash Tiwari from Sequal Securities. Please go ahead.
Sure. Hello. Hi, all. My question is, sir, like historically, we enjoyed 25% EBITDA margin largely because of like Thane project on company or land, which is like zero land cost. Now that our future growth is like mostly on Bandra, Chembur, Wadala, is pivoting towards the JDA model, where we have to share the revenue profits to the landlord. Should we assume that this is a new normal for margin? Will structure settle lower in like between 15 to 18% of range, or do we believe that like premium pricing power in this micro market is highly enough to offset the GD revenues. So like, I'm also adding to this, like, before demerger, like, we were easily enjoying like the margin of 20%. Like, post demerger, like, we are largely dropped to 13%. Like, I'm not sure, like, what happened on this. Like, how do we be how we will be fixing this? How we should be fixing this?
So see, there are three reasons for the change in margin profile that you are seeing prior to demerger and now. One is, of course, when the demerger was not there, the business was a division in overall Raymond Limited. Now what happens is that there are lots of costs which do not get debited to the business because it's a division and it goes as common costs. And the EBITDA to that extent gets overstated because when you do segmental, everything doesn't get allocated at that point in time. But now after the demerger, when all these common costs get distributed between various entities, there is always a change in the margin profile. For any group, it will be the case. And if you see our other businesses also, you will see a slight change in the margin profile because of these common costs. Then they get distributed to each business on a more realistic basis, and there is no common cost concept in that sense. So that's one reason. The second reason is also there has been a change in the accounting which has happened, which primarily is relating to JDAs. Now, it's highly technical. We've given a note to that effect in our accounts also last quarter. If you see, so what happens is the accounting standards are in such a manner that whatever we are delivering as rehab portion to people who have given us the land, the value of that entire rehab portion gets captured as revenue, and there is a presumptive rate of margin which is taken at 5%. So what happens is that 5% margin there, and overall on the project you have close to 18-20% margin, but your average drops, and it is peculiar because of this accounting anomaly. Actually, you are not receiving that revenue, you are not making that margin, but the accounting standard says so, so you have no choice but to do it. In fact, all real estate companies who are doing this will have to do this going forward. So this is something which kind of happened to us in this year, so that on the books you see this average margin going down a little bit because of this averaging effect. But as the project progresses further, it kind of, and you start booking revenue on your sales, this margin starts to creep up. Because initially, entire rehab portion you have taken at 5%. But as you sell, you will be recognizing revenue at full margin. So your average margin will start going up further. So that's the second impact which has really hit us. I mean, primarily these are the two big factors why you are seeing this. And we have had lots of launches which have happened on JDA. Two big launches we have done so far, and going forward also we will be doing two more launches. But by next year this situation will stabilize because we will have certain mature projects on the JDA front, and because of that the average margin profile will just rebound. So it's only in initial stage you see this situation of every project when it gets launched, you know. When you're launching, there are launch expenses, the margin is lower because the pricing on every project has a hockey stick curve for all projects, whether it is owned project or whether it is JDA. So since there are many launches which have happened, you're seeing this phenomena, but it will stabilize between 18-20% despite JDAs being there, despite, you know, we are paying for land, because wherever we are doing these projects, they are at a much higher pricing point. They are 1.5 to 2 times pricing of our Thana projects. So while we are paying for land, but we are also charging higher. So, and that's the reason why the margin profile will be lower because of the common expenses, but yes, we will be close to 18-20%.
Sir, can we be expecting in like Q4, or it would be in FY 2027?
Q4 Q4 also you will see an onward march. You will see a better margin than 13% that you've seen for the 9 months.
Okay. Sir, my last question is like any expansion apart from Mumbai, like Hyderabad or Bangalore or any other state in terms of like the developing Raymond Realty?
See, as of now, we are clearly Mumbai focused and we want to continue doing that. There is enough room to grow in this market. In fact, the projects that we have signed so far clearly ensure 2 years growth for us at the 20% growth that we have talked about. And we are currently working on year 3 and year 4's growth. So Bombay has a lot to offer. It is a very, very healthy market, not only in terms of volume, but also in terms of pricing discipline. So, I mean, risk adjusted, it's the best market to be in the country today.
Okay, sir. And then thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Khushi from Nijan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. What is the current run rate, EBITDA run rate for the year?
Sorry, we can't hear you clearly. Can you repeat that, please?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we could hear you earlier, but it wasn't very clear. Request that you repeat your question, please.
What is the run rate for FY26, EBITDA run rate for the FY26?
EBITDA margin?
No, EBITDA? Amount, the figure.
So, full year, we've given a guidance that we are looking at a 20% growth on the top line and bottom line. So, we will be very close to that.
Okay, because last year you all did approximately 500 crores of EBITDA. And for the 9 month basis also, it's not near, but it's around 300 crores.
So see, the thing is that till last year, no, the EBITDA that you have seen is a segmental EBITDA, and the company was not demerged. Under a segmental EBITDA, you have also unallocated costs. And now that it is only one segment and one company, so all those unallocated costs become the segment costs. So to that extent, your like-to-like is not a 500 number, which you've seen for last year. The like-to-like is a different number. So therefore, to that extent, you know, after you adjust the unallocated costs and all, then there's a 20% growth you will see on the EBITDA, is the point being made.
Okay, yes, I get it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Tejas Khandelwal from Prudent Equity. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello. Oh, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yes. Oh, so thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, my first question is, we have recognized the revenue of 108 crores from Cyan in Q3. So, but it is yet to be launched. So, how should we look at it?
Yeah, so there is only one way to look at it. So what happens in case of redevelopment projects is, so the existing residents have the right to purchase a certain area which is more than their entitlement. See, they, let's say, to give an example, somebody has 1,000 square feet, and in the scheme we have promised them that we will give you 30% more area, so they'll get 1,300 square feet. But somebody wants to buy another 200 square feet and he says, okay, you have an apartment in your configuration of 1500 square feet. I will take that apartment instead of my 1300 entitlement, but I will pay for that 200 square feet extra at the market rate. And that gets documented and the document gets registered. So the final definitive documents get signed and it is registered with the registrar of properties. Now, it is a result of that, because the existing residents have bought certain area from us which they have the right to buy. For that, I don't need to launch the project. because the planning is already done, the basic approval has already been obtained, and only after that these documents happen. Because I cannot enter into a document without the basic approval.
Okay, sir, got it.
Yeah, so it is a result of that. So it is a genuine sale, but it is sale with the existing resident. So it's the nature is slightly different. It's a very fine difference.
Okay. And sir, on the collection front, so while our pre-sales are growing, but we are not seeing the same growth on collection side. So why is that?
I don't know what you mean that you're not seeing the same growth. What is your comparison point? I don't know. You're comparing what with what?
Customer collection. So we have collected 427 crores in Q3 FY26. And that was 409 crores in last quarter and 431 crores in same quarter last year. So there is not much growth, but our pre-sales has grown.
See, the collection is dependent on what milestones get achieved in the construction during that period. And what is the percentage which is linked with that milestone. So they are not necessarily comparable from period to period in that sense. And when you do pre-sales, at the pre-sales time, the maximum you will collect is not more than 5 to 10%.
Okay, so got it. And so yeah. On the tax front, so we have paid very less tax this quarter. So what tax rate can we expect in last quarter, this Q4 and next financial year?
So 20-25% between taxes, what we are expecting for the full year.
You can assume 25%, which is the maximum marginal rate for
that
a company.
Right,
so yeah, so
considering the capital gains, the average is coming between 20 to 25%.
Okay, and I have last question. Regarding the level of change, so how much expense can we expect from this change?
Sorry, what's the change you have?
The change in labor laws recently happened, and the developers are giving a one-time exception.
There is no significant impact to us because we don't have the vintage as a company and as a business. It is just a five and a half year old business, so we are not crossing the threshold. The significant impact will come to organizations which have a long vintage of, 20, 30, 50, 100 years. So for us, the impact is negligible.
Okay, sir. So that was from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Hitendra Gupta from Systematics Shares. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Good evening. I had one or two questions. One is with regard to your EBITDA margin. I think last time you have earlier guided around 20% EBITDA. And now what I hear is like you're saying that it will be around 15-16%. Does this mean that you're revising it downward? And my second question would be with regard to the pre-sales. You have assumed a sale of 1300 crores in Q4 to make a full year pre-sales of 2800. In the current environment where we are hearing that the real estate sales across is a bit soft, is it look a bit ambitious on the company's part for where we are targeting 1300 crores in the Q4?
Yeah, so I'll answer the second one first.
Yeah.
So as far as the sale number is concerned, that's how we had budgeted it. And we are not experiencing any softness in any of our projects. So I don't know the market reports and whatever, because I've got four different market reports and all four say different things. Now, but I will rather go with my own data and what my experience has been on our projects, because that is what is more relevant as far as we are concerned. So we are not experiencing any softness on any of our projects, and they are behaving exactly the way we predicted and had budgeted for so far. Now, I don't have a crystal ball to talk about how it will be in 12 months and 15 months. But as of now, we don't see any signs, and we are very, very confident that we will deliver the number that that we have promised. Okay. And there is a solid plan behind it. Okay. And it's all very detailed, thought through. It's not a hope that we are banking on. As far as your first question, which relates to margin, is what we said is that eventually this business is, you can expect a 20% margin from it. Currently, we are at 13%, and I also explained the reasons of that, so I will not go through those reasons once again. Primarily, part of it is because of some accounting standard issue that we had, and part of it is because of the unallocated common costs which were there as an entity which has come, and the early part of the projects that we have. So for the current year, we will still deliver between 18% and 20%, and that 15-16% which you heard was a specific question which somebody asked on a certain part of the business and said that, you know, you remove other income, you remove this, that and the other, and what the margin is going to be. But business as a whole, we will be close to a 20% margin, somewhere between 17% and 20% range we would be. And next year, we will continue our march towards 20%. So, effectively, the business is 20%. If I remove that accounting standard issue which has come, if I remove that, you know, averaging effect, we will be very close to 20 by the end of this year also.
Okay, so we can assume, there is certainty that we can be able to see 20% EBITDA margin this year. But conservatively, it is better to have 17 to 20% kind of a range. That's what you want to mean to say?
That's right.
Yeah. And with regard to sales, you categorically said that you're confident based on your budgeted things and whatever you're seeing in terms of data, 1300 in the last quarter is achievable.
Yeah, absolutely. See, we are already opening up 3 new micro markets in the city.
Yeah.
And where we are not present.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Yeah, thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you. We will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Harmohan Sahni from Raymond Realty Limited for closing comments.
So, thank you very much, everyone, for joining us for this call today. And hope to see you again in the next quarter's call. Good night.
On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.